Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, on Wednesdays and Saturday mornings, the new blogs go up, so get on over there, look for one of them. You know, definitely normally pretty early, so make sure you're there looking for it. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, you want to hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like it while you're over there, well, we greatly appreciate that. There's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, you can find Dan and I on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three E's.
Oh, all right. So, Dan, you know, we pieced together our lists of, you know, we did starters, we did setup guys, we did closers. You know, just to kind of give it a little flair, I figured we'd jump into the middle of the infield today, and we would start with second baseman. And I know I got the enjoyment of going first yesterday, so why don't you go today? We'll start with second and short, actually. We're going to do both positions. Why don't you give me your number five second baseman to get us rolling?
My number five, I was still looking at Rougned Odor, despite the fact that he strikes out 162 times last year. But, you know, as they say in Major League Baseball today and with fantasy, strikeouts don't matter. But he, you know, I mean, that's an average of one strikeout per game. That's not pretty bad considering he was in every single game last year. You know, another negative is he only had about 124 hits with a 200 batting average. But, you know, the thing I like about him is the home runs. Although he only had 75 home runs or RBIs, it would have been a miracle if he had 75 home runs. But I'd like to see those numbers get up. And I don't know, maybe I'm optimistic, but I think he could bounce those numbers up and he'll grab you, you know, 15 stolen bases.
Yeah, so, you know, I decided, you know, for number five, I'm going to go with a guy who, you know, always hits for a high average, but I think he's a little underrated and maybe overlooked. You know, I'm going to go with DJ LeMahieu of the Colorado Rockies. You know, he's not a typical power Rocky-type player. I mean, he only hit eight bombs, and again, he plays 81 games in Colorado. So that's part of the reason why he's at number five. He did hit .310 again last year. So he, you know, he's definitely right in that range. You know, I don't think he's an upper tier type of fantasy guy that you want to go out and grab like some of these second basemen could be. But he's also one of those guys that when you kind of see him sitting there and it's a little later in the draft, you're not upset that you ended up with him. I believe I had him, it was either last year or 2 years ago, and he was just a quality guy. I mean, he plays pretty much every day, 155 games, and, you know, when you're getting that 300 average, it's nice to not have to worry about, you know, plugging guys in. It's just like, oh, hey, cool, here's LeMahieu. I'm going to plug him in every day. You know, so I think he's kind of a little under-the-radar value type guy. So that's why I plugged him in here at five. I'm sure a lot of guys don't have him in their top five. I'm sure he's more a top, you know, probably down around 10. But I wanted to include him here because I think he deserves a little, oh, a little notice. So I plugged him in at five. Where'd you go at four?
This one was a toss-up. I would have to give an honorable mention to Javi Baez, but he kind of sits there as almost the same exact player as Rougned Odor, except he didn't have as many at-bats, and his batting average was definitely better. But number four, I went with Jed Lowrie. You know, he's going to hit in 150 games or so, and get a hit, at least a hit a game. And I think that's huge. And, you know, one of the smaller categories that bounced up, he had the most doubles last year for a second baseman, and he was still able to hit 23 home runs and drive in 75 RBIs. His strikeout count is a little high, but strikeouts don't matter in fantasy. And he had a 277 average, so.
Yeah, they should matter, though. They should always matter.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm sure, you know, I'm sure anybody who's ever listened to the podcast has wondered where the heck I was going to have this guy. And I couldn't come up with a way to get him to number one. So I settled at four. And of course, that's my guy, Starlin Castro. Oddly a pretty good year last year, considering he was hurt and only played in 112 games. Still put up 16 home runs and hit 300. You know, I'm really praying that he gets traded, you know, somewhere down the road to somebody. I mean, he had, you know, you look at his Yankee numbers, 2016, he hit a career high home runs of 21. He was probably going to go past that last year, barring the injury. I mean, he was only five away in about 40 less games. So, you know, it looks like, you know, maybe as he's gotten older, the power has kind of come around. You know, that happens for some players. You know, he's a much better second baseman than shortstop. The move there is really, I think, kind of solidified him. You know, again, like I said, my fear is I'm worried about him being the big fish in the small marlin pond, and it's going to hurt him. That's part of the reason he's down here. You know, and again, and I just couldn't justify putting him number one, even though I wanted to. So, you know, we'll see. I think, you know, even on those bad Cubs teams, with the exception of one year, he's still always hit. So I'm hoping, again, you know, if he's stuck on a bad Marlins team, that he'll still always hit. So I'm banking on that, and that's why I plugged him in at number four. And, you know, I'm hoping, you know, again, another guy, if you land a little later in the draft and you get, you know, I don't know, if he hits 285 and he gets 18 bombs for you, you'll probably be pretty happy of it, because as long as the last year was the first year he really missed a bigger number of games. You know, he'd always played, the lowest number before that was 134. So, you know, it's another guy you're going to get. He's going to play. So he's my number four. So where'd you go for three?
Merrifield, second baseman for Kansas City. I know he's still pretty young. Yeah, I forgot his first name. Shh, leave me alone. But he still knocked in 19 home runs for second baseman, drove in 78 RBIs. He only walked 29 times, but you've got to imagine or hope that that would get better over time. But he was able to get 169 hits and was driven in around the bases 80 times. So, you know, if you're looking for someone, he's definitely one that I'd be on the lookout for. But then again, I'm looking at everybody when it comes to draft day.
Yeah, there are a lot of good guys. His first name's Witt, by the way. If you get a chance, when you're on online, Leonard Dan, look up the commercial he did in Japan in the off season. It's pretty entertaining. I believe it was a commercial, or he was on one of their game shows. But if you get a chance, look that up. It's interesting. You know, the tough part I found about doing only five guys is you have to actually leave some guys who are just top notch quality players off. And, you know, that's kind of where we're at. But when I got to number three, you know, I don't understand how you can pass up on Robinson Cano. You know, 23 bombs, 297, hit 280 last year. You know, I know a lot of people had wrote him off up there in Seattle after his 2017 or 16 season, excuse me. But, you know, he came back, you know, pretty strong last year. You know, it's a good offensive lineup, and with the additions they've made, you know, as long as he's hitting third or, you know, second or third, depending on how they put that lineup together, he's definitely going to put up, you know, those numbers. You know, I won't be surprised if the home runs jump, you know, a couple and he hits 25, but I think he'll be over 100 RBIs, you know, next year. You know, doesn't strike out a ton, only 85 strikeouts in 150 games, or if you want to make it sound cooler, about 600 at-bats. So, you know, that works out, you know, really well for him. Not, you know, not a stolen base threat or anything like that, but really you're strictly grabbing Cano as a power type of second baseman. And I know sometimes he's tough to get in drafts because he does still have some name value. And if you're in a bigger league, people recognize the name. So you got to kind of be careful where you're reaching or jumping out to grab him, because you don't want to go too early. And again, like I said, looking at my list here, there's a lot of second basemen out there. So, but yeah, I like him as my third guy heading into this year. So he's good old number three. Where'd you go for two?
Went to Baltimore with Jonathan Scope. You know, he played in 160 games last year. You know, he's not going to be breaking Cal Ripken's record anytime soon, but, you know, he was rounded the bases 92 times. He gave you 182 hits with 35 doubles, 32 home runs, 105 RBIs. He should actually, I should have put him at number one, but we'll finish going through. He only walked 35 times, but he struck out 142. So that's kind of where my negative is, but the 293 batting average, I still think he's pretty much a top-notch second baseman.
You forgot to include that he was Mr. Fantasy's guy all last year. He was very high on him going into last season. So I don't know how that went. Yeah, that's probably because you beat him to him. Yeah, well, you know, I think about every week he was in his FanDuel lineup when we did the Sunday FanDuel stuff. So he was really on the Jonathan Scope bandwagon last year. But yeah, for my number two, I also grabbed what has got to be considered a power hitting second baseman. I went for Brian Dozier. You know, up in Minnesota, you know, he's their leadoff guy, so you're gonna get at bats. You know, 106 runs last year. To go with 34 bombs and 93 RBIs. I believe he had the most home runs for any second baseman. Even contributed double-digit stolen bases. I mean, it's just 16, but, you know, every little bit helps. His batting average was back up. I know it was down in 2017, but it was .271 last year. You know, if it continues to climb, he can get back to that 40 home run total. You know, they kept talking about years to trade this guy. I think the last 3 or 4 years it's been – the Twins had to get rid of Dozier, and they hung on to him, and all of a sudden they were a wild card team. You know, he's definitely the catalyst at the top of their order, and he's a top second baseman. Again, another, you know, this is going to come up, I think, with just about every guy we talk about, but a big strikeout guy, 141. So, you know, you're going to have to eat that, but like Dan said, that doesn't hurt your fantasy numbers. So, you're okay there with him, and I think he's, you know, I won't be surprised if we see a big 4-0 for home runs this year from him. I think he could be a valuable get if you can sneak him through and kind of get a hold of him. So, all right, who'd you top your list with?
Well, you saw my thunder with Brian Dozier, but an honorable mention, I guess, would go to Cesar Hernandez over in Philly. You know, he's definitely going to be available later rounds. And, you know, being only in 128 games, he definitely got you a hit every single game with 26 doubles. He netted 6 triples. He's not going to give you a whole lot of home runs or RBIs, but he did round the bases 85 times. And he only struck out 104 times for a young guy and was able to get 15 stolen bases. But, you know, with the .294 batting average, that seems that I like that he hits the ball.
So, yeah, and, you know, there are, you know, a plethora of guys who you could still throw out here. But, of course, I think we all know the number one second baseman, it's Jose Altuve. I believe we all know that. 153 games last year, 112 runs, 204 hits. 39 doubles, 4 triples, 24 home runs. You know, they said always that was his weakness. You know, he didn't hit for power. Well, he hit 24 bombs, 81 RBIs, excuse me. Still did strike out 84 times, but walked 58. added 32 steals and hit 364. So, yeah, I think he's that step above all the other second basemen. You know, I mean, like, you know, there are the, you know, the Daniel Murphys, and I know, you know, I left D. Gordon off my list. He's going to get you the 60 steals. You know, so, like, when you get later in the draft, those guys are going to be there. You can find those guys. But Altuve is a clear first round, you know, number one type of pick. I mean, especially in our league, we go 20 deep. He's definitely a top 20 player, probably even top 10. You know, I think if he could get into the 30s for home runs, he's a top five. I wish they wouldn't jerk him around in the order so much and they would find a consistent spot for him. But, you know, these are the numbers you're going to get, you know, so, you know, you can't, I mean, it would be great to go somewhere else. And again, there are, you know, still some really talented second baseman out there, but we only have 10 slots and we're trying to hunt down different guys. So but yeah, it's hard to say, you know, Altuve's not the number one guy. It's just how it works out. So he's my number one and we're going to deal with that. So, all right, I left
D. Gordon off my list because I wasn't thinking that he would qualify for second base next year. So that was part of my reason for not putting him on there.
Yeah, you know, the only reason I kept him off is because I thought LeMahieu deserved a mention. But, you know, like I said, Gordon's right there. I mean, you know, neither of us had Daniel Murphy on our list. I mean, there are plenty of guys, you know, you could have plugged in here or there that, you know, it would have been like, oh, hey, yeah, this guy, I forgot about this guy. So, you know, you can definitely find these guys. So, you know, we'll see. But all right, we'll switch over to shortstop. And who is your who's your number five guy?
Elcides Escobar. He was in every single game last year. I rounded the bases 71 times with 150 hits. That's just below, you know, getting a hit every day. And, you know, the other numbers aren't as high, but, you know, I'm looking for, you know, not to give in. And a guy who's going to be later on available in the draft for you. So I still think he's a solid pickup. And, you know, again, I'm optimistic, and I think his numbers can only improve.
Yeah, I was a year early on this guy. You know, we make our predictions every year, and in 2016, I believe it was, my National League Rookie of the Year was Orlando Arcia, and the Brewers didn't end up calling him up. Well, he ended up playing 153 games last year, 277 with 53 runs driven in, and still stole 14 bases. So he definitely is kind of locked down the shortstop position for them. He's going to be a threat there for a long time, especially with double-digit home runs. You figure the power will probably come in again as he gets older. So, you know, there's a chance that, you know, he's a 19-20 home run guy next year. So I definitely think he's going to be a guy. But, yeah, he slides in for number five for me, and I think he's a guy you can get a little later in your fantasy drafts. So I think he could be a really good pick. So, yeah, I have Orlando Arcia at five. Where did you go with four?
I actually climbed up a little bit, you know, if you want to go by batting average. But I took Didi Gregorius. It's hard to judge whether or not. it's still hard to judge whether or not people are looking at this guy. So, you know, I'm looking for him to be available later on. If you're not a jerk and, well, just so you know, if you nominate him. Yeah, I'm nominating Castro. Did you nominate him? So just be wary. But I think if he stays healthy, you're just going to get much more improved numbers. And I still think he'll be a guy who's available. You know, what would you say? After the fourth round, you might be able to grab him.
Yeah, you know, possibly. You know, and I mean, in our league, it's always tough because you know we're talking 80 guys. In most fantasy leagues, I would guess he's probably a fifth or sixth round guy. You know, those 10 to 12 to 14 team leagues. So, I chased down a guy who I think probably ended up having a career year last year, and I'm very interested to see if he can do it again. My number four is Andrelton Simmons of the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. You know, all those years in Atlanta, he was respected as the best defensive shortstop in the game. And all of a sudden last year, you know, he puts up 278 with 14 bombs and 69 RBIs, even added in 19 stolen bases. You know, also added kind of 38 doubles, which is a big, you know, a big kind of, hey, look at this guy. You know, like anything else, you wonder if maybe it was just a one-year bump. But I'm willing to take a chance here. And, you know, number four, I definitely think he's a guy who's going to hang around in drafts because I think people are going to be just a little leery. And, you know, he's another good contact guy. And, you know, 589 at-bats, he only struck out 67 times. So he's kind of the opposite spectrum of the guys who are putting up, you know, gigantic strikeout numbers. You know, and I think he could be, a sneaky late grab depending on how the depth of your league is and how big it is, you know, because sometimes guys will panic if they don't have a shortstop and they'll grab a guy too early. But I think he's willing to take the risk. And again, you know, you're going to get a guy who plays almost every day. So I think that's a big plus, and I like Simmons at number four for me. So where'd you go with three?
Freddie Galvis. You know, he was in every single game. Yeah, I've got a thing for Philly. I don't know what it is, but
well, he's a Padre now. He's a Padre now, so it doesn't matter.
No, there you go. Well, then I don't know how that's going to work out, but you know, 600 at bats last year, 155 hits, 29 doubles. You know, he only gave you 61 RBIs on 12 home runs, but he did steal 14 bases. So it should be interesting to see him in San Diego going up against really good pitching.
Yes. You know, I really kind of, you know, I almost left this guy off my list because I tried to stay away from your guys because I figured you'd have Didi. I really thought he'd be your number one. And there are a couple other guys I stayed away from. But I really like this guy, and I think it's going to be a big, big bounce-back year for him. So at number three, I put Xander Bogaerts of the Red Sox. He dropped a little. He only hit 273 last year, and his home run numbers were down to 10. I really think that's more of an anomaly, and I'm hoping the Red Sox find him a nice little home, and he hits seventh or eighth in the order, and they just leave him there and let him rake. Because I know they bounced him around a little bit last year, and I believe early on he was hitting big, you know, average-wise. And then it all kind of came crashing down on him. You know, I don't believe he was probably as good as he started off, but he's also not as bad as he ended up. I definitely think this guy's a 300 hitter, and while he's not a 30 home run guy, you know, playing in Fenway, I wouldn't be shocked if he accidentally hits 20. You know, those odd things like that happen. But, you know, another guy who plays 148 games. So, you know, he is out there. And then with 156 hits, you're getting more than one hit a game, which, you know, is just fantastic. You know, those are kind of ratios you look for. And I think coming off a bad year, I think this guy could be a big steal for somebody. As, you know, they're just kind of looking around for shortstops. It may be one of those things where they go, oh, hey, wait, this guy is still there? Because you always get that when you're searching through your draft. And I think looking, you know, with the batting average being down and the home run numbers being way down, I think Bogaerts could be that guy. So I plugged him in at number three, and I really think he's going to be a good take for somebody, hopefully me, when it rolls around. But we'll see how it goes. So how's your number two look?
Oh, this guy might not be available when you're looking for him. That would be Elvis Andrus. I don't know. I had him last year. You know, 158 games, 100 times he crossed the base. He almost hit 200 hits, 191. He had 44 doubles, only 88 RBIs, 20 home runs, and then 25 stolen bases. So he's definitely going to fill up categories for you. And in our league, that's definitely something that's useful. Guys want to give you categories.
Yeah, you need those. So, you know, Elvis had a really good year last year. I don't think people realize how good his year was until, you go look at it. Yeah, so, you know, he was rolling. But, yeah, you know, at number two, I plugged in Gene Segura. You know, I had to be a little bit of a homer. You know, he was dinged up a little, so he only played in 125 games. So when you kind of look at his numbers for that, you know, he was a 300 hitter and he stole 22 bases. So if you kind of prorate that out and he stays healthy, you know, you're going to add up some numbers there. He also hit 11 homers last year. So a healthy Gene Segura, I think, gives you a few more numbers than that. It's also going to be interesting to see how they pair him with D. Gordon at the top of the lineup. You know, I assume, you know, either Segura, the one is going to hit number one and the other one is probably going to hit number two. I know sabermetrically that doesn't make sense, but you're looking at two guys who are, you know, terrors on the base path. I mean, you're going to get, you know, if it's a good year, you're going to get 150 steals out of two guys, you know, which is just going to be monstrous. So, you know, I definitely think, you know, he's going to be a 100-run scorer. And again, you know, this is if he stays healthy. And, you know, you plug those numbers in, and I believe even though, you know, he's still kind of a little underrated. I think a lot has to do with the fact that he plays in Seattle. So, you know, it's kind of like, oh, yeah, I kind of forget they have a team sometime. I don't because I root for them. But, you know, some of the guys we get forget there is a team in Seattle. And I, you know, very much like him. So I jumped on him at number two. Might be a little high, but I'm kind of a homer at times. So I plugged him in there. And I kind of figured you were going with Elvis, so I stayed away from him. So I went with Segura there. So, I'm interested to see who your number one is because I have two guys, and I'm hoping you picked one of them. So who's your number one?
I mean, I could not stay away from Francisco Lindor. I think he's just going to even have a better season next year. You know, 159 games. He almost rounded out the entire season. He rounded the bases 99 times, 178 hits. Just under 50 doubles, just under 100 RBI. You know, he's not, you know, 33 home runs is the biggest, the most for a shortstop. And then, you know, he gave you 15 stolen bases. So another guy who's going to eat up categories for you. And I just think he's just going to get that much better this year.
So, yeah, I had two guys at number one, and I wanted to see which one you would go with so I could go the other way. I love Lindor. I mean, 33 bombs for a shortstop is huge. So I went with the guy who I think will be a 30 home run guy this year. That's Corey Seager of the Dodgers at number one. You know, played in 145 games, 85 runs. He did hit 33 doubles to go with 22 home runs. His RBIs were down a little at just 77 because he spent a lot of time in that two hole. So I'm hoping maybe he gets the drop to three. And those RBIs pick up a little bit. And, you know, maybe with Adrian Gonzalez gone, he can pick up some of those extra RBIs. But, you know, he hit 295. And, you know, I know he had some injuries, but that were towards the playoffs. He still played in 145 games. You know, definitely a young guy. Going to be a top pick. Probably, I'm guessing in our league, probably a top 40 guy. I think he'll go in round one or round two. I wouldn't be shocked to see him go like 20th, depending on who the pick belongs to. But I definitely think he's gone before 40, basically just because of his position and the power he provides. But, yeah, I believe he's kind of a breakout guy. I think we're going to get 30 bombs out of him and hoping 90 RBIs. So, I like him up top. I would have went with Lindor if you would have went the other way. So, I was prepared there to give our fans some options so we don't end up with the same five guys. But, pretty good list.
No, finish up, and I'll take over for.
No, I just said, you know, pretty good list for us. But I did want to ask you, the one guy we both left off, and I went with Arcia over him. You bugged me. I don't know how many trades you sent me for this guy before. I think I finally gave in and traded to him. You left Tim Beckham off your list. How did that happen?
Tim Beckham. Oh, I'm looking at second baseman. I think he was in the handful with the lowest amount of games played last year. So that kind of helped determine where I was going. But, you know, it remains to be seen what would kind of go with him next year. And I guess this kind of leads into what I was going to say and ask you. Now, between the second basemen and the shortstop, I mean, let's be honest, you and I are such baseball fans that I was going to ask you, who would you definitely stay away from? But I think it's more of a, when it comes to the auction league, who would you nominate early on that if you can get for a good deal, you would take them, but, you know, if someone outbid you, you would just let them go. A couple of the guys I had in mind, starting at shortstop, were I don't want to say the bottom three, but as far as batting average goes, I was looking at these three guys. I would definitely nominate, and I would take if I got them. But if, you know, someone outbid me for them, or I was able to, bid up somebody, I would say Jose Reyes, Trevor Story, and Dansby Swanson. And then over in the American League, in second baseman, three guys I was really looking at that I would be opposed to having, but I would definitely let them go if I had to, was Josh Harrison, Yermar Sanchez, and now I can't remember his first name, Yovante Solarte. We'll just say Y Solarte. Do you have three guys or a couple guys that when you looked at your list between second baseman and shortstop, you would have never put them on your top five, or even your top 10 list. But, you know, if you got stuck with them, you'd take them, but you really wouldn't be going after them, so to speak. You know, I guess it's those guys you try to nominate to get that position off the board.
Yeah, well, you know, in our league, it's always easy to do Cubs. You know, anytime you throw a Cub, their guys always seem to want to overpay, you know, because the name is really familiar. So, I mean, you know, you can easily add in the, you know, the Baezes, the Russells. Hopefully we can get somebody to sucker into overpaying for Ben Zobrist, who I'm assuming qualifies as a second baseman. You know, the one guy, and I know, you know, shortstop-wise, he's going to qualify as a shortstop first, but I know he's going to play third base for the Angels this year. I'm a little concerned about Zach Cozart. He had a big year last year, and I just don't know if it's, a fluke. So I'm a little concerned with, you know, staying right there. It's just kind of like, man, okay, do I bite on this? And it would have to be a really, really kind of a steal for me to jump on and go, oh yeah, okay, I'll hang on to him. So he's definitely my top shortstop technically right now, because he's got to play his games at third base first. Then over at second, I'm a little concerned with Joe Panik. You know, his name comes up in every single trade the Giants are going to make, and I just wonder if eventually that's going to get to him. He's a solid player, but, you know, his numbers are never spectacular. You know, so he's that guy, if you kind of get, you know, the end of your draft, you're like, oh, okay, you need somebody to back him up, definitely. And I just don't know. I think mentally, how many times can you hear you're going to be traded and just kind of start to wonder if the team really wants you there? So I'm wondering if, you know, maybe this is the year it kind of gets to him and, you know, he just kind of, you know, kind of goes blah. And you're like, yeah, okay, great. You know, what do we do with him? So he's that second baseman I'm a little worried about. So we'll see. But, yeah, those are, you know, kind of the top two guys that I would have to get a good deal on to take. So you know, we'll see how it goes. You know, normally, you know, and to be fair, normally on these things, I'm completely wrong. You know, I don't remember how many years ago, if it was two or three now, I had zero interest in Francisco Lindor because he's actually hit better batting average-wise at the major league level than he ever did in the minors. And I just don't understand how that's possible, but he continues to do it. So, you know, yeah, you may want to take Cozart and panic with your first two picks after I put him on that list, because that's just how things seem to work for me.
Yeah, no, I've had panic.
You know, again, you know, I mean, he's a solid guy, but he's just not spectacular. You know, there's nothing, you know, nothing that kind of jumps out and makes you go, oh, yeah, I got to have Joe Panic. You know, it's just one of those things. So, we'll see, you know, see how it goes. But, yeah, you know, so that gets us through, what, shortstop and second baseman. So, tomorrow we're on the corners, right? We're doing first and third. So, hopefully we will, we will be of some help, so.
I have some breaking news for you, though. If you have not already, download the Bears app, your tablet, your cell phone. I think you can even do it on your computer. I could be wrong about that one. But today they uploaded everyone in Trubisky's touchdowns. So I know how much you want to see that. So just want to make sure you're up on the up and up on that.
Wait, they uploaded what? Every touchdown?
Yes, a video of every touchdown. Oh.
Well, at least it won't be too long to watch. So. Yeah. But yeah, I have to. I gotta know. I'm dying to know if you saw this one or you heard about this one. Did you happen to catch any of the Rockets Clippers game last night? I know it was the late game, so obviously I didn't get to see it, but did you see any of it or catch any of the highlights?
No, but I did read that the Rockets, some of the players after the game went into the Clippers locker room. I'm assuming Blake Griffin was in the middle of all.
yeah, I believe it all started. I don't remember if he was the first one to start it, but Griffin, you can kind of tell he does it intentionally, even though he'll never admit to it. He runs into the Rockets coach, Mike D'Antoni, on the sideline. And it's like obvious that, you know, that he's trying to make contact with him. So, you know, it's just one of those, you know, one of those things. But, you know, it of course escalated. There were a lot of words exchanged. And then apparently after the game, Chris Paul, now on the Rockets, was a longtime Clipper. He knew the back way into the locker room. So he, with a couple other of the Rockets, ended up in the Clippers locker room. And apparently they had to call the police. You know, they actually had to get the police involved. I'll be interested to see how the NBA handles this because, you know, this was one of the bigger complaints about the NBA was, you know, the term people used, and I know they called it racist, was it was a thug league. So I'll be interested to see how they kind of handle that or what they decide to do with this, but you know, it's definitely one of those things. I mean, they, you know, they can't have this happening. You can't have guys going into other guys' locker rooms. You know, and to be fair, I believe the Clippers ended up blowing the Rockets out last night. Now, the Rockets played without James Harden. But, you know, even so, you still shouldn't get blown out by the Clippers. You know, and I know Austin Rivers was also involved. He was on the bench in street clothes. So, you know, just one of those, you know, one of those odd situations the NBA runs into from time to time, and we'll have to see how they handle it.
Well, you know, to be honest, I mean, I thought they all just had one locker room anyway. Rimshot, Big Jack. But, you know, I mean, I guess my question to you is, are you a little surprised being that Chris Paul is a charter member of the Players Association, or I guess that would be their union. So he's supposed to be like a big-time representative.
Actually, he's president of the Players Union.
Yeah, I thought it was a little higher than what I was thinking, but
I don't know how they handle that. Yeah, you know, I know, you know, he's always been a little chippy, would be the word to describe it. But yeah, I don't know, how do you, you know, deal with this on, you know, your own here? You know, you're the president of the union. Do you punish yourself? How does that work?
Suspend yourself for half a game.
Can't blame
one
on the refs.
Yeah, well, and the other thing you brought up, and I was joking about it being, you know, Blake Griffin kind of being in the middle of it all. But back when he was doing all those Kia commercials, and he was getting a lot of press, you know, a lot of TV national. Did you kind of, was it implied that he had kind of a, I wouldn't say a bad boy, but he had a, you know, I wouldn't say squeaky clean, but he had a pretty, pretty all-American boy style persona projected out there. So I find it interesting that he's kind of lost a lot of his, you know, TV commercials and all that, especially ever since he punched his friend in the face. And he seems to be the one grappling and kind of causing all the issues. I mean, do you think we were just, he was just that good of an actor, so we just thought he was like a, you know, like a fun-loving, great guy, which I'm sure he is when you're friends with him. But if you're not friends with him, it doesn't seem like you're going to have such a good time. Well, even if you are friends with him.
Yeah. You know, yeah, you wonder how, you know, these guys always kind of really are when, you know, they're off the court. Or, you know, if you were to, you know, if you were to know them in person. And, yeah, you know, I wonder if maybe, you know, he's always had the reputation as being soft. And I wonder if maybe that just kind of got to him and he decided he needed to show he was a tougher guy. And, you know, in the end, yeah, it cost him quite a bit. I mean, he doesn't do Kia commercials anymore. I don't think he does any commercials anymore. But, you know, maybe he just wanted to show he was a tough guy.
So he's starting off a fight.
So... but yeah, you know, the best part about the whole thing was the, you know, the inside the NBA crew, good old Shaq and Chuck had a great laugh about it. And, I think it was Shaq who was joking about calling the police saying, yeah, can you help me? Chris Paul's trying to beat me up. So, they literally laughed so hard that Ernie was trying to save the broadcast and they were just too far gone. So yeah, that was kind of humorous with the, you know, the laughs they had going. I was just kind of like, wow, okay. So, I caught a little bit of a highlight of that today. I believe it was on, I think YouTube I hit it on. So yeah, that was better than the actual fight. So.
Oh, wow. I can't believe you went to YouTube for a highlight, so to speak.
Yeah, I watch it on the tablet quite a bit when I'm just kind of sitting around doing nothing. I watch the good old YouTube. So I don't watch a lot of highlights, but I do watch, you know, the YouTube. So I like, you know, the cat video. Oh, But I did see, I'm trying to, let me see if I can get the actual reporting here, who is reporting this. It's actually CBS on their website. They said that the NBA, Dan, has opened an investigation into the locker room incident. So there you go. And then of course the most hilarious thing about this by far was the fact that this was an NBA fight, and you and I both know how these NBA fights go. So it's not like anybody was really gonna fight.
No, I mean, if you want to fight, you got to call Bobby Portis.
Yeah. Yeah, the fights at practice are better than the actual, in-game fights. I mean, what was it, a few weeks ago, those two guys, Serge Ibaka and James Johnson, each pushed each other, pushed each other in the face. Like, okay, well, we're going to fight here, and it just stopped dead. I don't understand how you let a guy push you in the face. And it wasn't really a punch. It literally was just a push. And then you don't do anything about it. So, it's like, okay. So, yeah, I thought that was kind of humorous. But, some exciting news for us, Dan, when and if the Big Three comes back. I don't know if you saw this one, but Nate Robinson's going to play next year.
Who is?
Nate Robinson.
Oh, I didn't even know he was out of the league.
Yeah, he's been out, I think a year or two. So, yeah, he is going to come back. Let's see if they have the team. They say he's going to co-captain with Jermaine O'Neal. And do they list the team name here? He's only 33. Yeah, he's going to be the co-captain of Tri-State along with Jermaine O'Neal.
Van Peten, Iverson's not coming back?
Yeah, I don't, I haven't heard yet if he'll be returning. It does say, yeah. It looks like, yeah, some other names they announced, Baron Davis and Ron Artest are going to be part of the league next year. So, they'll have some names we recognize and watch. And I know, I don't remember which guy it was. I know one of the guys in the league actually got invited to an NBA camp. I don't think he made the team, but, it got him an invite to camp.
That was a fun league. It's fun to watch. A couple times I did watch.
Yeah, I didn't get to see enough of it. I'm going to have to make more of an effort next year to find the games and stuff and see what's going on.
Well, they need to get at least a couple primetime national, if they could. That'll give them a nice little boost.
Yeah, if they can sneak their way in there or just get somebody to add just that one game, give them one look. I know, what are they? They're on Fox Sports 1 right now, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so they need to find maybe Fox needs to throw a game on or something, on the national network and see if that helps out. But, yeah, that could be it'd be interesting. I'd like to see Nate. He's always been entertaining. So.
Well, his last season, he just kind of fell apart, ain't it?
I don't know. Do you call it fall apart? Or I think he just, I just don't think the skills were what they used to be, But yeah, we'll have to, we'll have to see what they end up doing with it or how they handle it. So,
Well, at least they were able to come back for another season.
Yeah, you know, I'm glad they, you know, they did come, you know, they're coming back. So, you know, we had a couple signings while I'm thinking about it. I saw that the Yankees are going to bring Wade LeBlanc in on a minor league deal. So it'll be interesting to see if he finds a spot in their bullpen. But did you see Curtis Granderson got a deal with the Blue Jays? You know, the Blue Jays have been looking for outfielders. You know, one year, $5 million. I know he had a bit of a, we could say it was a down year last year. But, you know, I think he's got a little gas in the tank. And at $5 million, it's not a bad risk, right?
I mean, I'll take that. I'll take a mil.
Yeah,
season.
You know, yeah, you and I would have taken a lot less than that, but you know, as long as it worked out there, and then I'm sure you'll run across this a little later, but after the Pirates' couple of moves, Josh Harrison has kind of, in probably the nicest way possible, requested to be traded. You know,
well,
he wrote this really interesting. Yeah, he wrote a really interesting, I don't know if it was on Twitter, now that it's 280 characters, or how he did it. I want to see if I can find it here really quick. Yeah, here, I'll go through it. He mentions, you know, from the start, it's baseball is a business, talks about how he understands that. He mentions that, you know, as he puts it, colon clutch, were his closest friends in the game, but also mentions that they were the best pitcher and best position player on the team. He goes on to say about being a member of the Pirates, you know, talks about being a member of the Pirates, you know, his passion for Pittsburgh and all that kind of stuff. But he goes on to say that he wants to win and I want to contend. And, you know, just kind of leads that into saying, you know, like what the GM said. I don't know if you heard the GM's comments. But Neil Huntington said, when we get back to our postseason caliber baseball, we would love for our fans to come back out. Well, you know, not the most positive thing if you're a player on the team. So, yeah, and in really the nicest possible way, Josh Harrison asked if he could he would be moved. So we'll have to see if they grant that request and they find a taker for him. But I guess apparently the Mets have been really interested in not only Harrison but McCutcheon. And for some reason, and I don't know why, but apparently they refused to part with Brandon Nimmo as part of the deal. And, you know, while I you know, what I've seen in Nimmo, I like him. He looks like a solid player. I don't know if you're going to get more than Andrew McCutcheon for him. So I don't know why they didn't make that deal, but obviously the Mets had their reasons, and, well, let's face it, that's why they're the Mets. So now he's a Giant, and maybe you can get Josh Harrison for him if you're willing to do that. But as of right now, apparently they think Nimmo is more valuable. So... you know, we'll have to see, you know, if they have any other ideas. But I did read today, again, you were probably at work. There's a chance the Giants will still look to add a guy like Billy Hamilton and slide McCutcheon over to right and allow Hunter Pence to play left. So the Giants, you know, while they did pick up McCutcheon, the Giants may not be done adding outfielders. So it could be interesting. You know, we'll have to see how that goes.
Sorry, I was trying to bring the dogs down. It got a little loud. Who's doing what?
They said the Giants are still possibly looking to add a center fielder, and they would move McCutcheon to right and Hunter Pence to left.
I thought Hunter Pence was in left, or is he in right?
Yeah, no, I think he played right. I think he played right last year. So.
Oh yeah, that's right.
So yeah, you know that could be interesting. You know, I can imagine if they made an ad like Billy Hamilton or something, that could be pretty, you know, pretty one of those cool things. But yeah, you know, as we roll along here, Dan, you know, we still have, you know, what I've now decided to call the great unsigned out there. You know, we're still looking for Yu Darvish, Jake Arrieta, good old Alex Cobb, and then JD Martinez to find teams. You know, we're less than a month now away from pitchers and catchers reporting. You know, what the hell's going on here?
Collusion.
Yeah, well, I'm waiting for that word to come up because you know that's going to happen. So, you know, but how much longer are we going to have to wait here? You know, is it just the money that's the holdup, or, you know, like I've always kind of decided that teams would rather make trades than pay big money to guys. So, you know, was it the fact that Gerrit Cole was on the market?
Well, I think that was part of it, but I just think it's the terms.
Oh.
You know, the 7 years, nobody wants to do it.
Yeah, you know, and again, I can't, you know, and it's always weird when they say a team is colluding, but I definitely understand why a team wouldn't want to give, you know, Alex Cobb $20 million or Jake Arrieta 7 years. I definitely understand these things. And, I don't know how that's collusion.
Well, I think they're trying to prove that all the owners or, you know, teams in general are getting together and saying, no, you know, let's not sign these guys. But I don't think that's the case. I mean, sometimes you have to be realistic. But, you know, that's one of the good things about having Scott Boras as your agent. And one of the negative things, he's going to put you up too high and too high of a pedestal. And you're going to think you're worth a lot more than you are because that's your agent. And in reality, you're not that valuable. You know, not to say that Jake Arrieta doesn't have any value, but I think the writing's on the wall, and we all can see that value isn't going to last past 3 years.
Yeah, you know, that's, you know, again, that's the tough key thing to, you know, obviously, you know, here.
You know,
it
took him as long as it did to get to Chicago to kind of become the pitcher he was. And, you know, I think his attitude, he liked to blame a lot of it on the Baltimore organization. And that the Cubs came in and let him do what he wanted, you know, let him be who he is. But, you know, great pitchers, kind of a guy like Clayton Kershaw or Chris Sale, you know, they're not blaming their past team. You know, let's just go Chris Sale. He's not blaming the White Sox or anything.
Don't we all just want to be who we are, though, Dan? Right? I mean, it's
yeah.
Oh, all right. It's time for Dan and I to go. But, hey, we'll be back tomorrow at 5:30. Remember, we're doing first baseman and third baseman tomorrow. But while we're gone, head over to sportstimeradio.com. That new blog should be up tomorrow morning. Go ahead and follow the link over to the Facebook page and give that a like. But don't forget the Twitter feed, which is at sportstimeradio. You can find Dan and I on Twitter as well if you want to hunt us down. You know, we don't mind that. As always, big thanks for coming out and listening to us live. It's cool when you do that. But don't forget, the podcast is available for you anytime you want over at tunein.com.
SportsTimeRadio.com.